Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back. Lynette and I had a great time of rest and relaxation and had fun. How many puzzles did we put together? We put together a bunch of puzzles. That's one of the things we just relax and do and put together some puzzles. Anybody else put together puzzles? I think that's fun to put. We had a good time, man. Thank y'all. And hey, if you got any friends in the Albuquerque area, we leave this afternoon. We fly to Albuquerque, and we're there tonight, Monday night and Tuesday night in Albuquerque. And then we fly over to Chandler, Arizona with Andy White. Some of you remember Andy when he was on staff here. And we're going to be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And so pray for us. I don't know whether there's going to be any live stream or not. But if there is, I guess Rich or somebody will let somebody know about it. They can let you know. But y'all, as we starting our Living Faith Crusades, we do them, you know, we do about one or two a month starting in September, the last August. So that's where we'll be. And y'all will be here, though, right? Okay, good. That wasn't very strong, but I'll let it go this time, okay? I want to talk about looking at the unseen this morning. Looking at the unseen until you see it. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The Message says it this way: it's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. You know, when you walk by faith, you are looking at things that are not seen. And looking at the unseen promises of God produces faith. Now, if you're going to walk by faith, you got to focus on the promises, not on the problem. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to walk by faith, you got to focus on the promises and not the problems. All right? When you walk by sight, you're looking at everything that can be seen. And when you're looking at only the things that you see, it produces fear instead of faith. You can always tell what a person's been looking at by listening at what they're saying, what they're talking about. You know, people are afraid because of all the violence and everything else that's taking place and is happening in the world today. And mostly the fear comes because you're more involved with the daily news than you are with the good news of the Word of God. I mean, yes, there is concern, but there does not have to be fear when you have your faith in God. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not talking about not being concerned. I'm not talking about not being, observant of things that are going on around you. That's just a natural thing. But there's no use to be afraid if you understand and have your faith in the Word of God. The faith is in the Word of God, not in what you see, but in what you don't see. You know, actually, you're a product of what you continue to look at. Really? Have you ever been driving and something catches your attention and you start looking at it, and the next thing you know, somebody in the car hollers, "Look out where you're going!" Right? Anybody ever been there besides me? Well, I got 25 honest people in here. Thank you. Actually, you were going where you were looking. How many of you ever noticed that? You start looking off at something and you start drifting that direction. Come on now. You know, it's a principle of life. Whatever you look at is what you're going to end up with. What we need to do is spend some more time looking at the unseen realm than we do at the seen realm. Keep looking at the promises of God. If you want to see them come into reality, you have to see them in the unseen realm before you ever see them in the reality realm. Hello. You know, worship and praise God when what you have believing for, or what you are believing for, has not even manifested yet. See, looking at the right things will get you going the right direction, believing the right way. And you know, look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Okay, my people on the front row have got there, so I'll go. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that's the New King James. I want to look at the NLT says. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now this verse shows us we have two choices. We can see in the spirit realm what the physical eye cannot see, or we can see the world, our problems, our troubles, that our physical eye can see. Now, I'm not saying that we don't recognize that the problem is there, but we don't look at the problem. We realize it's there, but we look at the unseen promises of God that's going to take care of the problem. Let me understand that. See? Now, as we look at Paul's writings here, he goes on and he said in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now, he's saying here that the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's going to work in you. You have to believe it. You may not see it. Now, we need to recognize the body is going to grow older, but the inner man is growing stronger every day. That's the real man on the inside. See 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man, the real person on the inside. This is just our house that we dwell in on earth. The real man on the inside is the real person that will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And somebody said, well, you're not supposed to say that word. Well, I did. I think we're getting so politically correct that we don't say the truth anymore. You know, even in our own, some people in our own government won't call things that are there. They won't call them what they are, and yet we got others that are calling it what it is. Hello? Come on now. See, don't lose heart. Even though the outward man, this outward flesh, is going to grow old. The Bible said it. Take any science class that deals with the physical man, or physical person, and they will tell you that as age goes on, things change, the body changes. But the man on the inside, and as you feed him on the Word of God, he grows stronger. I mean, you can keep feeding your body the natural minerals and food that it needs, and it will continue to live, but it gets older each day. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. But as you feed the man on the inside with the Word of God, he gets stronger every day. He doesn't diminish in his strength. We need to realize that our current situation is only momentary compared to the everlasting promises of God. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you keep things in the right perspective, then you're able to overcome. Hello? Every obstacle of life that throws itself in your pathway. You have to believe what the Bible says. You see, when you go hunting, I don't hunt, but I could if I wanted to. I know how to shoot a rifle. I was trained in the Army how to shoot a rifle. And when you take that M1, how many of you, now I know you're older, but how many of you old enough that you were in the Army or the Marines and you shot the M1 rifle? Anybody here beside me? I see one hand back there. It looks like Arnold back there. Is that Arnold back there? I think it is, yeah. Anybody else over here? There was one thing that you had to do when you got up. You had to have a good spot well right here. If you didn't, you're going to have a black eye. Is that not correct, guys? And if you're going to hit anything, you got a little deal on the end of the rifle out there and a little V right here, and you got to line up your target on that. You guys that are hunting with the scopes, you got to line up your prey in the crosshairs, or else you're not going to hit anything. Hello? See, now, when you line up your sights properly with the Word of God, you destroy your obstacles that are in front of you, just like when you line up properly and fire that weapon at whatever it is you're shooting, whether it's a bullseye or whether it's a deer or whatever, it hits the mark. When you realize that God wants you to sight in on the promises of God and not sight in on your problem. When you sight in on the promises of God, it destroys your problem. When you sight in on the problem destroys you. Come on. That's exactly what happens. Because the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you have the more abundant life when you begin to sight in on the promises of God and look at the unseen and realize that the unseen is more powerful than what is seen. Look at 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. We'll begin reading with the 15th verse. Here we see the unseen realm of the Spirit has greater possibilities than what you can see in the physical world. Say that again. From this scripture, we begin to see when you look into the unseen realm of the Spirit, you see that there are greater possibilities than there are in the physical world that you see. Now look at this. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now that's the prophet Elisha. He is looking and he saw the armies. He saw this and he said, "Don't fear, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Well, he was looking in the unseen area. He was looking at what you see in the spirit realm. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld that the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. See, what you need to realize is that the ministering spirits are there to minister for you. You need to see that in the spirit realm. You need to see that they are taking care of the situation. Anybody getting anything out of this? Elisha's servant looked at what he could see. And fear gripped his heart. Hey, if you are not looking at the unseen with everything that's going on in the world today, fear will grip your heart. I mean, some people got where they're afraid to go anywhere. They won't go to anywhere where there's a big crowd gathering, afraid that somebody's going to come in there and start shooting it up or whatever. Well, you can look at the scene and get in fear if you want to, but I'm going to look at the unseen and know that the ministering spirits are going to protect wherever I am. I'm not talking about being foolish. Now, see, here's what happens sometimes. When you start talking about having faith and looking at the unseen, there are some people that jump over here and they start getting foolish. And there's some people, it's foolishness or faith. Hello. Yeah. I get on to my basketball boys all the time over when they're the Eagles and they're playing. I see them going out of the gym. It's cold outside. And they just, and you can see perspiration running down their face, and they don't have a coat on, and they go out there, and now they get congestion, and they all get stopped up, and they start praying, "Lord, heal me." Well, before the Lord can heal you, you need to ask forgiveness for being stupid. Because you know that when you're hot and perspiring, notice I didn't say sweating. That's what we say in Texas and Oklahoma, but I said perspiring. That's more dignified. So I guess I need to be dignified today. You don't walk out into the cold without proper outer garments on to keep you warm. I know my dad, you know, I know someone saw Facebook yesterday, I put on there, he would have been 99 yesterday. And I said, I miss him, I do. But I remember one time, I was about, I don't know, 7, 8. He had been preaching one Sunday night, and he went outside and he had been perspiring, you know, and he didn't put his coat on or anything, and his shirt was sweating, wet. And he got all stopped up. And I heard him talking to mother. He said, you know, he said, before I can ask the Lord to heal me, I got to ask him to forgive me for being stupid. But that's the way he was. But, you know, I'm not talking about not realizing that the natural exists. It exists. But what I want you to see is to see into the unseen realm and see that what exists over there is greater than what is existing here. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, I want to tell you what, the enemy's going to do everything he can to get you into fear. He's going to do everything he can to blind you of the realities of the promises of God. You see, as this servant went out there and looked, he could not see in the natural how there could be a victory. How many of you have ever been there where you looked and you could not see? But as you began to look at the unseen realm of what God said in faith, how many of you saw deliverance? Yes. See, only thing he could see was defeat and captivity. He forgot how big God was. See, by looking at the scene, he made the problem bigger than God. You know, but whenever you look at God and the unseen realm of the promises of God, everything changes, and now those become greater than the problem. See, Elisha, he was looking in the unseen realm with God. He realized the greater power. And what's it say? John, greater is he. Come on, what's it say? Greater is he that... What? What? Do you really believe that?
Yes.
See, when you're saying that, if you're looking at something, it can't be, you can't see it. You can't see the greater one, but you know it's there. So you believe the greater one rather than believing the natural problem that exists. See, often people miss it because they look too much at the wrong things. Meditate on the promise instead of worrying about the problem. Here's something else. Talk to God about your situation and not everybody else. When you start talking to somebody else about your problem and your situation, all you're doing is making it seem bigger and bigger and bigger. Come on. See, whatever you look at will determine victory or defeat. And we all have been there where there seems no way out. You look at the situation and you say, it's hopeless in the natural, being realistic. But then you move from the seen realm to the unseen realm of the promises of God, and the hopeless situation goes away. You know, Abraham had to look at the unseen rather than the seen. Romans 4, we all know the story. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He did not look or consider his age, his natural age. He did not look or consider the barrenness of Sarah. See, those are the natural. Looking at the natural, he was past the age of children production. Looking at Sarah, she was barren, and in the natural, she was unable to have children. Right? That's the natural. But he did, what did he do? He looked at the unseen, the promises of God. He looked at the stars by night and the sand by day. Why? Because this is what God had promised and said, your offspring will be as these. See, while he was looking at the promise in the unseen realm, not looking in the seen realm, he continued to give glory to God for a son. It didn't seem possible. It seemed unrealistic. But God had promised it. So he continued to look in the unseen realm. He saw it happening. He saw the stars. He saw the sand. He saw it happening. I don't know how many times I've heard my father say to people that, when he's teaching on faith and healing, and some of you probably heard him say it, see yourself well. Anybody ever heard him say that? See yourself well? Yeah. He would say that all the time. He would say, you got to see it by faith before it comes into the natural. That's what I'm talking about. Seeing it in the unseen realm brings it by your faith, brings it into the natural realm. See, he glorified God, gave praise unto God when it didn't look like anything was happening. As I said, oh yeah, but that you know, hey, it didn't happen overnight. He did that for at least 17 years, according to whichever chronological report you're going to go by. But at least 17 years, he gave glory to God because he had a son. But you saw nothing in the natural. Man, you got to keep looking at it in the spirit realm. See, you go back to my title, looking at the unseen until you see it. Look at the unseen until you see it in the natural. He was fully convinced, it said, that what God had promised, he would perform. The secret of unwavering faith in God and looking at the unseen realm is keeping your eyes fixed on the promise rather than on the problem. Abraham kept his eyes fixed on the promise rather than what the natural was saying to him. The natural was saying, this can't be. Am I right or wrong? But the promise was saying, it can be. Now he had a choice. Here or here? He chose to look at the unseen, and when he did, it became a reality. Let me close with a story from World War II. Young American soldier. I have his name here, Lou Miller, it said. This is a story I got. He was caught in a burst of enemy machine gun fire. He had 5 bullets smash into him, 2 in his left arm, 1 in his shoulder, and 2 in his head. He was taken to the military hospital, more dead than alive. Weeks and months passed. He went down from 192 pounds to 90 pounds. He was too weak to stand, but he kept struggling. Recovery was slow, was painful, and it seemed hopeless. He tried to pray and didn't seem to help. Doctors were doing their best, but it didn't seem to make any difference. And so, to make the painful, endless hours pass more quickly, he would recall the happy scenes of the past. Athletic triumphs, scholastic prizes and honors he had won. He would picture the applause of the crowd, the pride and happiness in his on his parents' face. He tried to visualize these events so vividly as possible, because when he did, he could forget momentarily the hospital bed where he lay. He reviewed these memories. And then he began to be aware of something, that there was a common denominator here. Each time he scored a triumph or gained an objective, he had a mental picture of success before it actually happened. He gradually began to see a connection between the before and after pattern and the great promises then of the New Testament. And he remembered, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And he asked himself, is it possible that I can hasten my own recovery by seeing and claiming Christ's promise at the same time? So, with determination and energy, he began to do just that. He saw himself returning home. He saw himself driving a car. He saw himself holding down a job, resuming normal everyday life. He saw himself raising a family, taking part in civic affairs, pursuing a career. Not only did he visualize these things over and over with all intensity, but he also began to thank God in advance for turning these visions into reality. Lou Miller did recover. Married, had 2 children, lived a normal, happy, and productive life that he saw so vividly in that Army hospital. He was convinced that he found one of the most powerful healing combinations in the world. Seeing himself well, plus the unshakable faith of God, and it brought him back from the edge of the grave to the land of the living. Thus, that's what I've been talking about all morning. See it in the unseen realm, and then believe God promises to bring it into the seen realm. That's what he did. See yourself getting promoted, and then thank God for it. See yourself well and begin to thank God for it. See yourself with whatever it is that you're praying for. See yourself in your mental capacity, and then began to thank God for it. Seeing it here in the unseen realm by the promises of God will bring it here into the reality. It's up to you. You choose what you want to see. But remember, if you look more at the unseen realm than you do at the seen realm, and continue to praise God for the promises, the problem will dissolve, and you'll walk out free and whole, you'll begin to walk in liberty and happiness and rejoice, because now you can see that if you will begin to see it and believe the promises, it will come to pass, and you will run and shout and jump with glee as you enjoy the victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Hey, look at the unseen, not at the seen. I didn't say don't recognize the seen. It's there. But what? Greater is he that's here in the unseen than he that is here in the seen realm. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we talk to these people for a few moments today. I pray that our words will have found lodgment in their hearts. And may they take whatever is needed from this message that spoke to their heart and begin to use it for their advantage and your kingdom. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for people to find Christ. You never know. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you realize that you're not exactly where you should be, and you need to come back and rededicate your life. Or you may say, well, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. I see a hand down here. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any others? Hand over here. Thank you. One over here. Thank you. Anybody else? There's another hand. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, we believe in what the Bible says around here. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Is there anybody here today that would like to be filled with that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room? There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody stand, please. Several hands have been raised. I'm going to walk down front because I want to pray with you. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come right down here, shake my hand, and let me pray with you right now. Come on. Just come on. Just come on. Bless you, buddy. Stand right here. Just face me. Bless you, man. Just stand right here. Bless you. Just stand right here. Come on. Come on, man. Bless you, buddy. Praise God. Come on. God bless you, man. Stand right there. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. Come on now. Don't be wrong. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guys. I got three books here. New Birth, In Him, White Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give them to you and I put them out there like that, well, yeah, you got to get them. That's it. You got them. They're yours. Hey, y'all are going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do to show you that I can give you something in the natural, but this is a spiritual thing, like I've been talking about. It's unseen. So, I want, just as he reached out to get those, I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. With that hand, you're saying, Heavenly Father, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here for. Congregation, put your hand over and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that every spiritual need in every one of these lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go to a special place, we call it a prayer room, this morning, where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, where y'all get those books that I just gave him. But every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, that same room turns into a classroom called Turning Point. And you might say, well, what in the world is that? It's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God. That's all it is, okay? I'd like to see you there next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Would you turn and see our staff, one of the staff members, that's Greg right there. Would y'all just follow him to that place of prayer right now? Just follow him there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what it's all about right there. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, don't forget. Look at the unseen until what? Look at the unseen until what? Look at the unseen until what? Amen. Till you see it. Amen and amen. Hey, connection team, go find our first time guest, please, and take them to that special room where we got a special gift for you. And it is really a nice gift. You're going to like it. It's not just some little trinket. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hey, let's give our first time guests a hand as they go to the connection room. Staff, you better move and go to the doors right now. Praise the Lord. Tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, hour of power, 7 o'clock. Be here. Hey, pray for us and the crusade team as we go out to minister. Pray that souls will be saved, people healed, filled with the Spirit. Amen. Leave God with us for it. Hey, we sing a chorus to dismiss for you that don't know. And let me get down that aisle right there. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday morning.